Visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
We are very, very thankful that he was taken into custody and nobody else was injured. I am also feeling a sense of relief for the city of New Kensington, because I know they've been on high alert and on edge for the past several days.
New Kensington Police Chief Jim Klein making the emotional announcement this morning that the man accused of killing a police officer is in custody. Police captured Ramil Holt after several days of searching. Klein says now with Holt being captured, the families and police department can grieve. Erin Carmona is the reporter who broke the news of the harassment allegations against Charlie Rose. She said many of the accusers felt trapped.
These women, in many cases, told us that they felt they had nowhere to turn.
And in the last hour, Charlie Rose has been fired by CBS amid the sexual harassment allegations. And if you are traveling, please remember that old adage, if you see something, say something. You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. I actually don't even think about food. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad, is it attacks belly fat? Well, let me tell you, it did. The second month is where I saw a drastic change in the size of my stomach. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435.
After a surprise visit by Syrian President Bashar Assad to Moscow Monday, Russian President Vladimir Putin says he plans to speak with President Trump regarding the conflict in Syria. Former UN Ambassador John Bolton says there is some common ground between Russia and the United States regarding Syria and Assad.
We both want to transition Assad out of power. It was never true then. It's not true when you hear the State Department say it today. Assad is now an instrument of Russian involvement in the Middle East, the de facto alliance they have with Iran to redraw, really, the lines of authority and power in the Middle East. This is a very dangerous point.
Colorado wants Uber to find more qualified drivers. State regulators yesterday fined the ride service company nearly $9 million for using drivers who lack licenses or had committed disqualifying offenses. In a statement, Uber blames the error on its background check process in Colorado and is working to correct that issue. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
President Trump's executive order cutting off funds to sanctuary cities is being blocked by a federal judge. The district court judge called the executive order unconstitutional on its face. The ruling was a response to a lawsuit brought by California's San Francisco and Santa Clara counties, which limit their cooperation with federal immigration authorities.
LeVar Ball denies being in a feud with President Donald Trump, but repeatedly refused to issue a thanks to the president for his involvement in the release of his son from China. Ball told CNN, though, there is one circumstance in which he would have thanked the president.
I would say thank you if he would have put him on his plane and took him home. Then I would have said, thank you, Mr. Trump, for taking my boys out of China and bringing them back to the U.S. There's a lot of room on that plane. I would have said thank you kindly for that.
With Thanksgiving fast approaching, many food banks are saying they're running out of food, especially in New York City. Sarah Lee Kessler has the details.
A new report shows one out of three New York City food pantries and soup kitchens have been forced to turn hungry people away in recent weeks. They say cuts to the food stamp program, known as SNAP, have increased demand. But food banks across the country are having similar problems, many citing donor fatigue following an outpouring of help for hurricane victims in Houston, Florida, and Puerto Rico.
Federal authorities are charging an Iranian man with hacking into HBO's computer system and threatening to leak first-run shows if the pay TV service refused to pay him a ransom in Bitcoin currency. You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Hoorah to all you Marines and a great big hoo-wah to my friends in the Army. The Front Lines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we'll be speaking with Pastor John Correa of ActiveSelfProtection.com. Of course, we'll also discuss Service Academy football, and then we'll conclude with a special discussion on the Sutherland Springs Baptist Church massacre and what we should all learn from that terrible event. Troops, we welcome your comments and questions. Contact us through frontlinesoffreedom.com. But to start us off, now it's time to honor and welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Pastor John Correa of Active Self-Protection. John, welcome to Front Lines of Freedom.
Skip, thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right. Now, John, first let's start off by telling us about your military service, because I know you did serve our country.
I did. Yep. I served in the United States Navy from 1995 through 2002, and I made hot water the hard way on an aircraft carrier. I was a nuclear reactor operator and got out at the end of 02, and very proud of my service like we all should be. And currently, my son is active duty in the United States Navy.
Ah, that's fantastic. So multi-generational. Now, I have a question. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of what we want to talk about, John, the Marine Corps, we have a battle cry called Hoorah, and the Army has Hoo-ah. What does the Navy have? What is your battle cry?
Hi, nice to see you. Anybody wants to talk?
You know, I had a feeling it was something like that, or when do we get leave, or something like that.
But you know, some of my friends who are sailors, who are CBs have their own can do, right? You know, so you have to CB to do anything. They'll say can do. And you'll hear sailors, instead of hoorah, they'll say hoo-ah or hoo-yah or stuff like that sometimes. But I don't know, man. When I was in the Navy in the 90s and the early 2000s, we just said, hi, nice to see you.
Okay. And if it was an officer, you saluted briskly.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. If it the Navy motto is that if it moves, grease it. If it don't, paint it. Regardless, clean it.
That's right. Actually, that's not too far from the Marine Corps. We're cousins, because the Marine Corps is a branch of the U.S. Navy.
Yeah, part of it, right? You know, so, and I have a strong Marine Corps tradition in my family, actually. My grandpa served under Chesty Puller in World War II, Marine Division. He was wounded in the assault on Peleliu. My pop was in the first full platoon on the ground, 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines in Vietnam. And so I have a very strong Marine Corps tradition in my family as well. But when it came time for me to enlist, my grandpa, who served in World War II, didn't think that the Marine Corps was right for me. And so he called the recruiters and wouldn't let them recruit. That's straight truth.
Wow. Well, he was watching out for you. Obviously, it worked out okay because you were in the Navy. And hey, we need a strong Navy to take the Marines every place they need to go.
That's right. You know, hey, I said that to my Marine Corps friends all the time, as well as my Navy SEAL buddy. You know what? I'll take you there. I'll drop you off. I'll pick you up when you get done. Make sure there's a hot meal and a shower waiting for you.
Oh, that's great. One thing that I noticed a long time ago is that Navy chow is a lot better than Marine Corps chow.
I mean, it's not Air Force chow, but it's generally edible.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, when I was in from 75 to 81, and it's like Marine Corps chow was basically, it was in an olive drab can, and you needed a John Wayne to open it up. But
right, MREs, right? You know, is what they had. Sometimes, I didn't eat a lot of MREs, but we did sometimes, MREs, three lies in one.
Oh, yeah, you can gain weight on those MREs. All right. Well, John, you have a really fascinating part of your ministry that you do. It's called Active Self-Protection. The listeners don't know about that, but I think they could really benefit by ActiveSelfProtection.com and also what you do on YouTube. Go ahead and tell our listeners all about what you do on Active Self-Protection.
About 8 years ago now, or 7 years ago, I founded a self-defense and firearms training company that we call Active Self-Protection. And what ASP does, we call it ASP, A-S-P, Active Self-Protection, is, you know, we train people in all walks of life to protect themselves and their families from violent criminals. Probably the place, if you know me, you know me from my YouTube channel. If you just search on YouTube, Active Self-Protection, you'll find us, no problem. And what we do there is people send me real-life surveillance videos of violent criminal encounters of all kinds. So armed robberies, carjackings, home invasions, muggings, kidnapping attempts, all kinds of things like that. And we walk through them to do a play-by-play of here's what happened, and then we walk back through them to learn lessons that we see happen again and again so that people know what to expect and know what they need to prepare to defeat if they're going to protect themselves and their loved ones from deadly harm. We post a new one every single day, 365 days a year, to the main channel. We have a secondary channel. We call it Active Self-Protection Extra on YouTube, and that extra channel, we do training tips. We run drills. We talk about lessons learned from various things, including the recent tragedy in Sutherland Springs, as well as just before that, the murders and massacre in Las Vegas. And so that's probably where people know us from. But you can find us on Facebook as well. We have a thriving Facebook community that we post links and articles and thought-provoking stuff for people who want to prepare better to defend themselves. Not in a military context, you know, when folks are out kicking doors or something, that's a different world. But when they're back home defending their families, that's where we specialize.
Awesome. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing personal defense with John Correa of Active Self-Protection. John, so how many years have you been doing this now?
Well, the business has existed since 2011. I've been training myself since 2006. I started in handgun training as well as martial arts training, empty-handed skills, in 2006. So been studying now for almost 12 years. And have run the business for about 7. The narrated videos that people will know me from, we really started 3 years ago. We currently have just over 1,000 narrated defensive encounters for people to learn from. And they're all available to everyone free of charge as a public good.
John, what exactly can people learn by watching your videos?
You know, it's been said that experience is both the best and the worst teacher, because when you have the experience yourself, you have to pay full retail for it. You know, you got to pay the price for it. Whereas if you can learn from other people and their experiences, and that's what we call wisdom. So really what the channel provides is education and wisdom from the experiences of others. It's very similar, for instance, when I was in the Navy and we would fight simulated fires. Well, guess what? It's not a real fire, but having that near experience and being able to kind of feel it and see it would give us more competence and therefore more confidence when we had the real one. As well, again, I operated nuclear reactors in the Navy, and whenever anybody had a problem, if a reactor broke or if somebody made a mistake and we had a problem on a plant, then they would do a full debrief on it. They would make sure that we knew exactly what went wrong, exactly how it went wrong, what the contributing factors were, and what we can do in the future so that we don't have that problem. And once they wrote all that up and it was approved, then they would send that to every reactor in the fleet for everybody to gain from that experience so that it wasn't confined to that one command. And so that's exactly what we do. It's that same thing. It's passing around experiences for everybody to benefit from. So they'll gain things like just an understanding of the factors that go in to criminal victimization. They'll gain awareness tips to understand, here's how you are aware of what could come your way. They'll gain an understanding of, this is what a violent criminal actor actually looks like. This is what they actually do. Here's how a real armed robbery goes down. Not what you've seen in Hollywood or that you watch on Netflix, but what really happens in real life. And so when you have all those things, and that better prepares you that, God forbid, if the balloon goes up in your life, then you're actually better prepared for it than if you hadn't seen them.
Yeah. Well, you know, you always talk about ASP and watching your ASP, which is clever. ASP, what does ASP stand for?
Well, I mean, at its core, first of all, it stands for active self-protection, right? So ASP, active self-protection. But it also is how we organize our training strategy, which is we first work on attitude and then skills and then a plan. So attitude, skills, plan, ASP. So when we say cover your ASP, we're very careful to make sure we enunciate the P at the end there. And so in doing so, we talk about, listen, you want to make sure that your attitude is correct and what a lot of people call their defensive mindset. I prefer to think of it as an attitude, which is my arrangement towards my circumstances and surroundings should at some level come first before all things. Attitude is always first. Once I have an attitude that I am willing to protect myself, and I have theological underpinnings for that, then we talk about skills, and you have to build skills. And you can't just say, well, I'm going to protect myself. Well, you got to actually have the ability to do that. And that means building a skill set that is more than just rudiment. That involves both empty-handed skills and, if possible, legal in your jurisdiction, firearm skills, as well as less lethal tools and other tools like that. And then finally, a plan. So what is my plan for if something like this goes down? How do I handle? How do I see a carjacking coming? What would happen in a home invasion? What is our family plan? How would that affect us in this particular way? Who does what when all these things happen? So we feel like when you have attitude, skills, and plan all put together, then you have the best chance possible to come out of a deadly force encounter as a victor. Nothing can guarantee things. You know, the bad guy gets a vote, but it gives you the best chance possible. And so that's why we use that cover your ASP little catchphrase, because it means make sure that your attitude, your skills, and your plan are all in place.
And that's awesome, John. It's very helpful for me as well. That's all the time we have for this segment on Frontlines of Freedom. But in a few minutes, we'll be back with John Correa and more active self-protection. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. Hit the deck and do an easy, slow 31-handed push-ups with each hand, of course. I want you lean and mean so you can go out there and protect your families.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, your front door is the number one preferred entry point for home invaders. On average, it takes 5 seconds to break down your solid steel security door. To prevent this, reinforce your door frame by doubling the 2x4s and by using longer, case-hardened screws to attach the hinges to the door frame. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Are you in business? Not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunter and County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We'd like to continue our discussion with Pastor John Correa from the website ActiveSelfProtection.com. But John, before we get back to that, I'd like to get your thoughts on the recent tragedy at Sutherland Springs Baptist Church. So many people died, and I want to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously terrible. First Baptist there in Sutherland Springs. I mean, an absolute evil human being walked in and basically murdered an entire church, 5% of that town's population. And of course, we decry violence like that. It's a heinous, evil thing to see happen. And I really think that the men and women who serve in the military are those who really do accept that evil exists and that that evil can come our way and that it's valuable to proactively defend our loved ones as well as our nation from acts of evil like that. I mean, of course, we decry it. It's deplorable. There was literally nothing that could be said to justify it. And my heart breaks for the victims and for their families. I actually have a personal connection with some of my church family to two of the victims who died that day. And so this one's really personal for me. I didn't know those people directly, but they are loved ones of loved ones, which makes them my loved ones.
Yeah.
And so in terms of what that means for us, I think that we have to recognize what used to be in this country was that our places of worship were sacred space.
Yeah, John, I know at my church, it's just a small church, you know, about 200 people. We've got about 10 people on our safety team, and we cover all aspects of fire and medical and physical security. And I'm guessing that you have something similar at your church as well.
Yeah, I pastor a small church, probably about 80 people or so, kind of the average church in America. You know, they say the average congregation has 90 adults on a Sunday morning. So we're a little smaller than that, actually. And we do almost, well, I mean, always have multiple people on campus, including yours truly, who have the kind of skills that could repel an active killer like happened in Sutherland Springs. I mean, again, no promises, no guarantees, but multiple guys who are carrying, and gals for that matter, who are carrying firearms. But of course, a church security team is far more than repelling an active killer. That's probably the least likely thing that you'll see. And so our security team, yeah, exactly right. What you said, you know, we're dealing with medical problems and domestic disputes and custody issues and somebody who has a heart attack in the pew and stuff like that. So when you're thinking about church security, you're not thinking about locking the place down. You're thinking about how do we make sure that everyone who is here gets what they came for. And that is an experience of community and truth and openness.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad day in America. I teach concealed carry classes, as do you, and I noticed a huge surge in the week following the Sutherland Springs Church massacre. And I would talk to people about that. And you already mentioned that a little bit. Basically, people were stunned. And it's like, oh, I'm awake now. You have my attention. Because it's like, okay, this happened in a small church, in a small town in Texas. And it's hard to deny that if something like that can happen in the country, in Texas, where it's just renowned for a lot of people carrying guns, then why couldn't it happen in my hometown as well? And I think it's woken a lot of people up.
Well, and it's not isolated. I mean, just a month or 6 weeks previously, we had a similar spree, a murderer in Bethel Church of Christ, just outside of Nashville. And not long before that, we just finally had a guilty verdict of the murderer in the church in South Carolina. And these kind of things happen. I mean, they're not common, thankfully. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of churches in America, and they make the news for a reason because they're so rare, but they're not unheard of. And having some kind of plan in place and some kind of contingency, it's just common sense at this point. If you don't, it seems to me that you're negligent.
Yeah. This is Marine Vet Skip Coyle on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing church and family defense with John Correa of ActiveSelfProtection.com. John, what kind of qualities do you look for in a person that you are going to arm and sanction as part of your church safety team?
Well, I think first and foremost, if somebody is going to be a part of our church security team, then I have to know them. I have to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't put somebody on my church security team who hadn't been coming to my church for at least, say, a year and who was not invested in the community outside of security. So I want to know their heart. I want to know that they're for the right reasons. And that's no different than somebody, say, who wants to work with my children.
Yeah.
But secondly, I would look for somebody who was competent and had those attitude, skills, and plan, or was willing to invest in them. So that, to me, says that they understand the mindset of church protection. That is also about church openness, and that we want to welcome all visitors, and we want them to have that truth, community, and openness that we seek to make disciples as followers of Jesus. But then as well, I want them to have, if they're going to carry a firearm, they're part of our armed presence, then they need to be very competent with that. And that, to me, in my world, means they have gone far beyond a CCW class.
Yeah.
We pretty much require anybody who's going to carry and be a part of our discussion of church security. Now, I live in Arizona. Anybody can carry a firearm concealed, so I'm sure there are people who do that I don't know. But if you're going to be part of my contingency plan, then that means you need to get to at least one full-day, 8-hour firearm skills class, handgun skills class every single year. And you need to get to the range at least once a quarter. And you need to do your dry fire work so that you're competent and ready with that firearm every single week. And if you're willing to do that and you're willing to be with us as we consider what our plans are and what our response should be, then that's somebody that I would consider putting on our formal team.
Yeah, John, we're not in Kansas anymore, or Mayberry RFD, so to speak.
Yeah, well, and to be honest, that puts that person, if they are that person and they do those things, that puts them in a very small cadre.
Yeah.
My friend Carl Rain did a study of all firearms owners in America, and only about 7% of them actually got to the range with any of their firearms in the last year. Only about 7% of them got to any kind of class beyond a CCW class ever. And so if you take a class every year and you get to the range every quarter, you're in about the top 3% of firearms owners in America. And that's who I want on my team. And
yeah,
that doesn't seem like a ridiculously high standard to me.
No, actually, it's not. I teach out of Michigan. We see the same thing here. If we have a class of 30, 40 people, I know in my heart that 99.5% of these people I will never see again. It's like they have it in their mind that I don't want to be safe. I just want to feel safe. I want that illusion of security. And they've got two checkboxes: buy a gun and then get a concealed pistol license. And they get both those boxes checked and they say, okay, I'm safe now. Truth is,
yeah, I'm done. And my military brothers and sisters catch this one, whereas a lot of people won't, is that I call that a whoopee.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep your whoopee on you, I get it. Like, we all need a whoopee, you know, that helps us feel safe and helps us feel warm and snuggly. But just recognize it for what it is. It's a whoopee. It's not a tool. It's a whoopee. And I personally don't want a whoopee. I want a tool on me that I can use to effectively stop violence if I need to. And that takes training. And thankfully, a firearm is a fairly easy tool to use. It is a fairly intuitive tool to use. But to use effectively against somebody who means you deadly harm does take a little bit of work, which is why I say 8 hours a year in class, one range trip of 2 hours every quarter, and 10 minutes of dry fire work every week. That's a very small standard in order to be in that top 1%, to be competent enough that if the balloon goes up, you're ready.
John, that is awesome advice. I agree with you 100%. John, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today on Front Lines of Freedom. Before you go, though, please tell our listeners how they can be involved in your outreach on active self-protection.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, come and find us on YouTube and on Facebook. You know, just search active self-protection, all three words there, on both those platforms, and you'll find us. You find us on Instagram and Twitter, too. And come take a class with us. We're now doing what we call the Survive the Fight Tour, which is all over the country. We have tour stops coming up in Michigan, in Wisconsin. We've got tour stops coming up in California, in Atlanta. I'll be at things, you know, various stuff in our annual meetings this year where we can meet up and talk, and I get to present at stuff like that. We'll be at SHOT Show if you're an industry professional and you have badges for SHOT. So come and be a part. Take a class. We also have affiliated instructors instructors, and soon in 2018, we hope to have certified instructors who know how to teach well and will teach in their hometowns as well.
John, that is awesome. Thank you very much for your commitment to our country and to our Lord. All right, coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, it's time for Service Academy Football with Quentin. Then we'll discuss more church security with Mike Visser from Silver Bullet Firearms and Training Center. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Troops, go ahead and do 20 pull-ups all the way up and all the way down, nice and slow. Then take a break and do 20 more and stand at ease, but stay in the area.
Thanksgiving is a time to spend with your friends and family, but at Spartan Nash, we recognize that not all our service members can be with their loved ones during this holiday season. As the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and exchanges in the world, we exist to give our military heroes a taste of home. This is a part of Spartan Nash's commitment to patriotism and serving our military heroes and their families.
Wherever you spend Thanksgiving this year, we at Spartan Nash thank you for your service.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Speaker of the House came out to California. He promised a large group of his supporters that he was going to attempt to fix the California thing. And to me, that means he's going to have to deal with the state income tax in a fair way.
California Republican Daryl Issa on why he was one of 13 members of the Republican Party to vote against the tax reform bill that passed the House last week. Congressman Issa also shares why this is a pretty big deal to him and his constituents.
Your state income tax is not discretionary. You don't get to say, well, you know, I gave it the other office at the federal government. They take the money.
Charlie Rose's CBS News career came to an unceremonious end today when the network fired him over allegations of sexual harassment. CBS This Morning was built around Rose and his co-anchors Gail King and Nora O'Donnell. The anchors did say there was no excuse for his alleged behavior this morning as they weighed in on their former colleague. You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, otherwise known as War. You hear my national radio show, War Now, the Wayne Allyn Root Show, every day on USA Radio Network at 6 p.m. Eastern, as well as my national TV show, War Now, on Newsmax TV every day at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But I'm everywhere leading the conservative fight on Fox News, on hundreds of radio shows as a guest, writing books like Angry White Male, my newspaper columns, even on CNN. I'm a conservative warrior fighting for conservatism, capitalism, American exceptionalism, and Judeo-Christian values. And of course, I will always be the fiercest defender in the media for my great President Donald J. Trump. But it all starts at my website, RootForAmerica.com. You'll find the hottest stories, news headlines, my passionate, in-your-face, take-no-prisoners, conservative commentaries, and popular videos. The left will win this war over my cold, dead body. So every day, start your day with the news and opinions that matter to conservatives and patriots at my site, RootForAmerica.com, or listen to my radio show at USARadio.com, or watch my TV show at NewsmaxTV.com. Above all, be sure to root for America.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. We really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact us through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who has died while serving our nation, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. HonorandRemember.org. Troops, what I know about football could fit inside a Nat's coat pocket. So, Quentin, you could tell me anything and I'd believe you. Take it away, Quentin.
Well, Skip, how you doing today? It's a pleasure to be here. And I tell you what, on Veterans Day, our service academies represented us well. Army and Navy won big games, home games for their final home games of the year. And the Air Force suffered another loss as their season just continues to spiral downward. Starting with Army, the Black Knights completed an unbeaten home schedule this year with their defeat of ACC foe, the Duke Blue Devils. Army was able to pull out the victory 21-16 at the famed Mikey Stadium. And in the first quarter, the Blue Devils thought they were on to something as they opened the scoring up with a field goal. But Army marched down the field, 11 plays, just a typical Army drive, 11 plays, 80-yard, time of possession, 6 minutes and 17 seconds, with Darnell Woolfolk taking it in from the 3-yard line, and the extra point was good, and Army went ahead 7-3. Moving into the second quarter, the Black Knights continued to pour it on. Justin Bordeaux scored on a 25-yard punt return to go up 14-3, and then senior quarterback and leader and captain Ahmad Bradshaw had an 18-yard run to go up 21-3 before Duke could finally answer with a touchdown of their own just before the half on a nice drive of their own, and at the half, Army was up 21-10. Pretty much, that was all the scoring Army would need. In the second half, they turned it over to their defense. Their defense held the Blue Devils scoreless in the third quarter to a touchdown in the fourth quarter, and Army was able to prevail 21-16. They've got one more game. Their next game is going to be against North Texas, but they finished the season 8-2 up to this point. They, of course, have North Texas, and then the game, the Army-Navy game, will follow that. But the Black Knights are just playing an exciting brand of football. General Caslin, when we spoke to him 2 or 3 years ago, he said, these young men and this core deserves a winner. By goodness, he certainly has delivered on that. And Coach Monken and the Black Knights are to be commended. And I know Denny would be proud, Skip. He sure would.
Well, Quentin, my question here, and this is very important. Since the Colonel is so happy right now and he is our boss, do you think this is a good time to hit him up for a raise?
You know what? I like how you think, Skip. I like how you think. Well, the foe that will be Army's, of course, their biggest rival in a few weeks will be the midshipmen of the United States Naval Academy. Being a Marine vet, that's one of your close brethren.
Hoorah. Hoorah.
And Navy prevailed in a close game on a last-second field goal, 43-40. Again, at home in Annapolis, Maryland, at Navy Marine Corps Stadium, 43-40 over the Southern Methodist University Mustangs. Navy opened the scoring with Anthony Gargiulo going out on a 3-yard touchdown run to go up 7-0, but SMU came back with a field goal. Navy retaliated when Malcolm Perry, the backup quarterback, went 92 yards for a touchdown to go up 13-3. There was another one of those funny plays in football where when you block an extra point and return it, you get 2 points. And that's what happened. So SMU was able to finish the first quarter with 5 points, 13-5 score. But Malcolm Perry, on a record-setting day, he ran for 252 yards on the day. He scored on a 24-yard run for Navy to go up 20-5. And at halftime, Navy had stretched that lead to 34-11. The third quarter, the midshipmen just did not let up. They went up 40-25 before SMU mounted a comeback. They scored in the third quarter to bring it 40-32, and then with only a minute left, they scored again and tied it up at 40. But the midshipmen were undaunted. They took the ball 10 plays, 78 yards, and were able to finish it off with an 18-yard field goal from J.R. Osborne to win the game, 43-40, to a thrilling victory as the midshipmen moved to 6-3 on the season and 4-3 in the conference. It hasn't been their typical season where they've just been steamrolling opponents, but yet they still find themselves at 6-3 having a tremendous season.
Well, God bless the Navy. That's fantastic.
It is, and Coach Neil Matalolo is to be commended. Boy, he is just really, I mean, they're playing with their backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And SMU was a pretty solid team. They were 6-3 coming into the game as well. So the backup quarterback, Coach Neil Matalolo, pushed the right buttons. He and offensive coordinator Jasper Ivan to pick Malcolm Perry to take the place of Will Worth. And, boy, to have a record-setting day. And he's only a sophomore, so I think they may have found their quarterback of the future.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it was an excellent game to actually be there in person and watch, a real barn burner.
It certainly was. And then we moved to the Rocky Mountain, just where Pikes Peak is. Air Force Academy played their conference foe and rival, the Wyoming Cowboys, who were 4-1 in their conference play coming into the game and 6-3 overall. And the Cowboys just proved to be a little too much for our Falcons this day, who have fallen to now 4-6 and 3-3 in the conference. When we look at the scoring, Wyoming just opened up with a bit of a blitzkrieg. They went up 7-0 on a 4-play, 24-yard drive after an interception. And turnovers were the key. Air Force had 3 turnovers in the game to Wyoming's 1. Then in the second quarter, Jared Scott took a 17-yard pass from Josh Allen to go up 14-0, and then Josh Allen went in from 2 yards out to go up 21-0 before Air Force was able to get on the board at 21-7 with one of those textbook patented drives of 11 plays, 80 yards to score with 25 seconds left to go before the half. Marcus Bennett on a 22-yard pass from Arian Worthman. In the third quarter, it looked like the Falcons were going to mount a comeback. They opened up the scoring with a Taven Burdow 10-yard touchdown run to bring it to within 21-14, but they just could not mount a consistent attack as Wyoming tacked on another touchdown in the fourth quarter to go up 28-14, and that's the way it ended. When we look at the time of possession, Air Force had the ball for 31 minutes to Wyoming's 28 minutes, and they outgained Wyoming 378-229, but it was those 3 turnovers that really made the big difference. And so the Falcons again dropped to 4-6, 3-3 in the conference, and now they are struggling for bowl viability.
Mm-hmm. So basically this week, the Colonel is happy, the Navy's happy, our producer and co-host Josh Lang not quite so happy this week.
That's right. Josh and I are licking our wounds this week. But you know what? That's why we play the games, right? These are just opportunities, one, to have a lot of fun, mm-hmm. and two, to get a little bit better.
Well, all right. Is there anything special coming up next week, Quentin?
Well, next, Air Force has Boise State on the docket. Always a tough game. They're ranked number 25 in the country. It's going to be at Boise State, and so Air Force will be find itself as an underdog, even though they have been able to handle Boise State the last couple of years. Navy, on the other hand, is going to be playing in South Bend, Indiana, against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Notre Dame coming off a nationally televised whooping at the hands of the Miami Hurricanes. And I can't even talk about that game without talking about the turnover chain. The turnover chain is sweeping America as the latest bit of excitement in college football that the Miami Hurricanes, whenever they get a turnover, they put a chain on the sidelines, and that player is rewarded and congratulated by his teammates. And Miami just really put on an awesome display. So Notre Dame will be looking for retribution. And so Navy will definitely have to come in with their A game. The Irish are still ranked number 8 in the country and are very formidable foe. And then I mentioned that the Black Knight will play at North Texas, and North Texas is tough, and now the Black Knights played them twice last year, once in the bowl game, and were able to prevail each time, and so I think North Texas is really sitting back and waiting for Army, but I think the Army team they're facing this year is even better than the Army team that beat them last year. So I think Coach Monken, and one of the things to really point out, when Army and Navy and Air Force play in Texas, that's a hotbed for recruiting for all 3 service academies, and is one of the reasons that Army likes to play a game in Texas so that they can show off to potential recruits. And that's always important as to if you, it's hard to win without talent there, Skip. So,
right, yeah.
So the academy is always looking on the lookout for some talent.
Quentin, I love your insight, and I especially love your excitement. So we look forward to hearing from you again next week.
Hey, pleasure, Skip.
All
Thanks
right.
again for your service, Skip. Really appreciate it, sir.
All right, Quentin. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. When we get back, we'll be speaking with Mike Visser from Silver Bullet Firearms and Training about church safety in light of the Sutherland Springs church massacre. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops, get a bench and do some good weights. 50 pounds should do it, about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease.
This report is brought to you by the National Safety Council. According to a National Safety Council poll, approximately 1 in 4 Americans has been directly affected by the opioid crisis. They may know someone who has overdosed, someone who is addicted, or they may have become addicted themselves. The National Safety Council has launched the Stop Everyday Killers campaign nationwide to literally illustrate the faces behind the numbers. The campaign includes a memorial wall made of pills, individually hand-carved with the faces of the 22,000 people lost last year to prescription opioid overdose. The memorial will travel across the country in the coming months. The campaign also seeks to educate about the scope of the problem and promote proven solutions. Deborah Herzman, President and CEO of the National Safety Council.
The opioid crisis is the most fatal drug epidemic in recorded U.S. history. It claims a life every 24 minutes. The Stop Everyday Killers campaign will play a critical role in shifting the national attitude about opioid painkillers while simultaneously prompting visitors to take life-saving actions.
To learn more, visit StopEverydayKillers.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. In this segment, we'd like to welcome our guest and personal friend of Front Lines of Freedom, Mike Visser from Silver Bullet Firearms and Training Center. Mike, welcome to Front Lines of Freedom.
Skip, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Mike, just so the listeners know that you're not a man to be trifled with, tell us about your training background.
Training background? Gosh, I've been shooting for about 30 years, handguns for 22, competitively for 13. I've gone through the Lethal Force Institute with Masad Ayoub, Gunsight Academy in Paulden, Arizona by the late great Colonel Jeff Cooper with an E-ticket award, multi-gun masterclass rated competitive shooter.
Okay, so you've done a few things.
I've been a few rodeos, yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of that movie with Keanu Reeves, The Matrix.
One of my favorites.
Oh, where he's sitting there and the bad guys are shooting at him and all the bullets are coming at him. And he holds up his hand, he stops them and they fall down. And the main bad guy says, okay, so you have some talent.
Exactly. I wish we had that ability.
Yes. Well, Mike, you have some talent and that's why you're on the show today. So thank you very much.
Mike, we've been speaking earlier in the show. We spoke with John Correa from Active Self-Protection, and we touched a little bit on the Sutherland Springs church massacre. It just seems like those, they're getting more and more prevalent. A week doesn't go by that we don't have some type of, you know, I don't call them active shootings. I call them active killings. They're just mass killings is what they are, and they're happening all over the country. What is your latest take on the Sutherland Springs Baptist Church massacre?
It looks to us as if there were certain individuals that were initially going to be targeted for this attack, and everybody else was just in the wrong spot at the wrong time. Going in for a massacre like this, the guy had nothing else to go for, it sounded like, and he was going to go out in a blaze.
Yeah, he was in the Air Force, so he's of special interest to Front Lines of Freedom. He got a bad conduct discharge from the Air Force. He was convicted of domestic violence, and that was just incredibly heinous. I mean, he beat his wife, and then he fractured the skull of his infant.
Yeah.
And he spent some time in a mental institution inside the military. They drummed him out of the military. And then for some reason, the Air Force didn't input the data into the NICS system that said he can't possess firearms.
Right. Huge lack of communication there. And there are pleas right now through the NRA and NSSF, the National Shooting Sports Foundation, that are wanting to require that police departments submit all of this information to the NICS Background Check Center. So people like this do get prohibited from buying a firearm.
Well, I think most people probably already think that that's happening, and they'd be appalled to find out that it's not.
Right. Sometimes things like this do slip through the cracks, unfortunately, and they're wanting to make this a little bit more mandatory and give some repercussions if law enforcement agencies fail to do so.
So it's a systemic problem. I think I read an article a couple days ago that said there are thousands of people that should be on the NICS database who have had convictions, felony convictions, domestic violence convictions, and for whatever reason, they're just not there.
I'm sure there are, yeah.
So basically, the anti-gun folks, they're crying out for more gun control, but the means were in place to keep this guy from legally acquiring a firearm, but because the Air Force fell down on it, it just flat out didn't happen.
Right. The system just did not work on this background check system.
So, Mike, what happened is the guy came in and he was looking for his mother-in-law, I guess, who went to that church. And actually, he had even scoped out the church 5 days earlier. He had been there 5 days earlier. And he came in, obviously, very prepared. He had, you know, body armor, a tactical vest, a helmet. He had an AR-15 with 15 30-round magazines. And he shot up the church on the outside. And then he walked inside. And he just started executing people in a situation like that. If someone were to walk into, say, you had control of a church and you were in charge of security, what would happen in your church if someone did something like that?
What I would like to see ideally is that there would be a well-vetted and well-trained security and safety team in place at this church, to where there was somebody who would be sitting in the back of the church greeting people at the door if they were already coming in late, that maybe could have stopped this before it got any further. I just have one person out there, that could have made all the difference. So hopefully a church is, what we've been noticing at Silver Bullet lately is we've been getting a lot of phone calls from pastors, consistory members looking for additional training to get people their concealed pistol license so they can start an armed security team at their church.
Yeah. You know, all through the ages, churches have been sacred. It's like they've been off limits to violence. But the breed of criminal, basically mentally ill people or evil people, whatever you want to call them, they didn't get that memo. And they just don't care. It's like they see it as a soft target. So we're going to go in there and we're going to kill as many people as we can.
And they are known as soft targets because typically places like places of worship are gun-free pistol crime zones, criminal empowerment zones, basically.
Mike, the thing that bothers me most about this whole massacre, because that's the only way that you can describe it accurately, is massacre, because that's what happened, is you're talking about a small town in Texas in a church. A very pro-gun place. Everyone and their grandma has a gun in Texas. And the gun laws are pretty good there.
Yeah.
How is it that no one in that church, 60 people there, no one had a gun to put this guy down?
The only possible explanation I can even remotely come up with is that they thought this place was off limits. It's a sacred place. Who would honestly dare to try to do something in a place of worship like this? And what we've been seeing over the news is that places like this are not sacred to mass shooters that want to do something like this. Nothing is off limits to them.
Yeah, it's been happening over the last couple of decades. It's on the rise. It's going to keep happening. What would you recommend to people that say there's a pastor or even a parishioner, they're listening right now, they're concerned about it, they don't know where to start as far as forming some type of safety team for their church? Where can you point them?
What I'd really recommend is start looking to the congregation for other people that may be of the mindset of the sheepdog.
Yeah.
We're looking at police officers, firefighters, first responders, people like that, to start forming a team of people that are of like mind, that are willing to be that sheepdog to protect the flock from the wolves, because the wolves are out there. Once you've got that team set in place, have some goals in mind. What type of training are these people going to get? And it's not just firearms. Firearms is just one small facet of a church safety response team. You've got to have first aid training to make sure that if somebody is injured, that something can be done. You have to have first aid kits all over the church. CPR training. Some churches, the congregation may be of a little bit older age, so CPR or somebody with a heart condition. Other tools to have. Not just a first aid kit or the knowledge on how to use the stuff, but get an AED in your church.
Yeah.
They are absolutely everywhere. If you go to Disney, I don't think you could take 100 steps without passing an AED. Very simple machines to use, not terribly expensive, so get something like that. And if it's getting into the point where a firearm is a little bit of a taboo subject for the congregation, at least get something like a pepper spray or a pepper foam.
Yeah.
I know a lot of places like to use the foam, so you're not getting any kind of mist in the air with a cross contamination. So you get the foam that's more centralized.
Yeah, that's a good point. And of course, along with that less than lethal, whether you're using pepper spray or a gun, you've got to have the courage to stand up to a lunatic who is killing babies and people as you're watching. That's a rare commodity. I mean, not everyone has that.
Not everybody has that intestinal fortitude to be able to do something like this. There's a very fine line between the sheepdog and the wolf, right?
Yeah.
Both have the capacity for violence. One has got more propensity towards it, but the other one only resorts to it if he needs to. And still, that sheepdog is the one that wants to protect the flock. They're not going to be the person that's out there. The sheep, they have no capacity for violence. They don't want to hurt anybody. They want everybody to get along, and that is fantastic. That is a majority of society, 97-98%.
That's our greatest strength, but it's also our greatest weakness.
Yeah. Yeah, strength in the numbers, absolutely. Having that backing of that congregation there, supporting that safety team and what they're doing and what they're willing to do. And when you look at these people of a like mind like that, law enforcement, first responders, firefighters, they already have that desire and willingness to help their fellow man. So that's why those are the people you look for, because you know that if push come to shove, they'll do their job if they have to. They don't want to, but they'll do it if they have to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Mike, we're about out of time, but before we go, tell us how people can find Silver Bullet Firearms and Training.
Yeah, Silver Bullet Firearms. You can find us on the web at silverbulletfirearms.com.
Mike, thank you very much for being on Frontlines of Freedom today.
Skip, I appreciate you having me back.
All right, folks, our book giveaway this week is a copy of my book, Civilian Combat. To get in on the drawing, email the colonel at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com and put Civilian Combat in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we will be speaking with Israeli defense soldiers Carlos and Schur. They will discuss their time on active duty. Scott Spiker, CEO of First Command, will discuss the Pentagon's new retirement system. And Air Force vet Andy Coleman is running for Congress in Oklahoma in a midterm election. And of course, we'll also have Service Academy football. Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you or your friends had guard, KP, or other duties that force you to miss any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on Frontlines of Freedom. Join us next week for military and veteran information you won't get anywhere else on the Frontlines of Freedom. Dismissed.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players.
You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com. That's EisenhowerCenter.com.
Being there matters. And your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief, your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters. And America's Navy is already there.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. At 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
I believe that I want to make clear to him that he was not authorized to represent the campaign with the Russian government or any other foreign government.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions facing lawmakers today on Capitol Hill in a new round of questioning regarding his knowledge of Russian contacts made by members of the Trump campaign in the lead-up up to the 2016 presidential election. Sessions next addressed whether he had lied in a past hearing.
I will not accept and reject accusations that I have ever lied.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore should drop out of the special election race in Alabama.
He should step aside.